You're tuned into Highway Sermons with Steve Wheeler.
Wonderful morning to worship. Hey, God is good. And beautiful people we saw here this morning. The great prophetic words that came up. This great ship that the ladies' ministry are purchasing for the church. Wednesday night was great, by the way. Just want to say the teaching time. This coming week, Sean, we've asked him to teach on the fruit of the Spirit. So if you wanting to get a grips with this thing of the fruit of the Spirit, maybe you've missed the last few Wednesdays, this will be a good one to come along. Amen? Amen. Nothing like taking the lenses of grace and the finished work of the cross and re-examining some of these beautiful teachings and topics to understand. Encourage you in that. Amen. So life is good. God is good. And it's offering time. Amen. I'd ask the guys to come up as we prepare that this morning. Thank you, Lord. Even our rugby's looking better. Things are turning around. Although I'm not going to measure my joy by how well the rugby does. I think I'll measure my joy by what I'm going to say to you this morning. But hey, it's nice to win a few games. Let's say together, Father God, thank you for the gospel. Thank you for my partnership in good news. I pray, Father, that wherever the seed is sown, it'll bring forth a harvest for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. 2 Kings chapter 6, please. Wasn't that a great time of prophetic flow there? Just stepping out. Sometimes you just got to step out in what God gives you and leave the rest with God. Amen? But I think there is a word of encouragement here to people this morning. So if you open up your own hearts and read with me. Are we there already? Okay. I better get reading. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh, my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elijah prayed, Oh, Lord, open his eyes so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he looked and saw the hills were full of horses and chariots on fire all around Elisha. And as the enemy came down towards him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, strike these people with blindness. So he struck them with blindness as Elisha had asked. And Elisha told them, this is not the road, this is not the city, follow me and I will lead you to the man you are looking for. And he led them to Samaria. After they entered the city, Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men so that they can see. And then the Lord opened their eyes and they looked and there they were inside Samaria. Then the king of Israel saw them. He asked Elisha, shall I kill them? My father, shall I kill them? Do not kill them, he answered. Should you kill men you have captured with your own sword or bow? Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and then go back to their master. So he prepared a great feast, eating and drinking. He sent them away, and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. Open our eyes, Lord. You see, the way this servant was feeling was a direct result of what his senses told him. His senses told him through his eyes that they were surrounded and they were in big trouble. But the prophet was seeing with the other set of eyes into the spirit realm. And it's quite natural when we look with the natural eyes, we will have certain feelings. You see an accident, you feel anxiety. You see someone lurking around your property late at night, you feel fear. You see your mid-month bank balance. And sometimes you feel shocked. But that's how feelings are manufactured. As we operate in this physical world, where this servant was operating, he was taking in information at that level. And the prophet was trying to operate at a different level. And we've heard it said often that the spirit world is more real than the physical world. Let me say this. We should learn to see in the spirit at least as real as we see in the physical realm if we're looking with our spiritual eyes. Now, as a new creation in Christ, born again, someone with the mind of Christ, you have a new set of eyes that you can negotiate at a different level. Now, we live in a physical world, and we have to be realistic about things that are really there, but we don't only operate there. If we only operate there, then we need the prophetic word to come and say, open your other set of eyes, because more are they that are for you than those who are against you, and greater is he in you than he that is in the world. And you need the prophetic word to come and open your eyes to redirect and to see at a different level. Amen. That's how thoughts come. Thoughts come through the senses. Thoughts come through demonic lies. We've heard many times that just because a thought comes to you doesn't mean it came from you. It can come from you, but it can also just be a lie. Because there's another realm operating that is as real as this physical realm. In fact, this physical realm we live in, touch, see, smell, taste, is going to pass away. But the other world that we've been made fit for is an eternal. Best we learn about that world. So the prophetic word is, open your eyes. Lord, open their eyes that they can truly see, not just at this plane. Now you know, let me not run ahead of myself. Let's jump into Acts chapter 7. Let's go into the New Testament and pick up a very similar picture, but obviously with a different slant on it. Acts chapter 7. We see here the context is Stephen is preaching a really loving, kind, gentle, just hold it off until message over here. And he elicits a certain response. In verse 51, it says, you stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears. When last did you hear a sermon like that? Well, there's a time to preach a sermon like that. You've got to preach the law to self-righteous people. You've got to preach the law to those who are not born again, don't know the Savior. The law is still the law. Jesus came to fulfill the law, not abolish the law. It's time to preach that kind of message. Especially to a religious spirit, amen? Especially to a religious spirit. You know, Paul says, if eating meat stumbles your brother, don't eat meat. That's walking in love. But if not eating meat is because of somebody's religious spirit, then let's have a bra flash. Okay, I got right off there. Verse 52. Was there ever a prophet your fathers did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you've betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law that was put into effect through angels, but have not obeyed it. When they heard this, they were furious and had a board meeting, and the committee decided that there would be a stoning procession. Verse 55. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragging him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against him. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. two different stories. I want to first bring the similarities. They both saw into the other world very clearly. And that was what gave them their hope in the face of impending disaster. When Stephen, it says he looked up and saw the glory of God, and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. We know that Jesus is seated next to the right hand of God, but he stands to welcome his heroes, the heroes of the kingdom. But what did he look up and see a planet? Did he see another galaxy or cosmos? We've got to understand how these two realms operate. First of all, illustrations are always weak, but they do help. So, if you're watching sport on Super Sport, and the kids come in and want to watch Cartoon Network, okay? When the sport's over, you switch to Cartoon Network. What you've done, when the Cartoon Network comes up, has Super Sport closed down? No, it's still there. And when you're watching Super Sport, was Cartoon Network still there? The waves were in the air, but you decided which frequency to tune into. So, both are happening simultaneously, but we decide what frequency we tuned into. Now, in this physical realm, we pretty much locked into sight, smell, taste, touch, all that, in negotiating this realm. But there's another realm where we live by faith. If you want to call it the sixth sense, and you don't get stumbled over thinking now we're into New Age, there's a world that's as real as this world. And we've got to learn to understand how it operates the same way. And we need our eyes open, because only when he saw what was not seeable in the natural could he cry out, "Father, don't hold the sin against them." Only when the servant could see what Elijah was doing, did he understand when Elijah said, "No, don't kill them. In fact, let's have a celebration and send them back." You know why? Because the prophet saw the future, and he saw a future of peace if they fed and let their enemies go, opposed to a tit-for-tat war that would have been unleashed again. So the prophetic is very important. But in the New Testament, Stephen was the prophet. Old Testament, there were people set aside as prophets, specifically to speak to the people. Now we're all the priesthood of God. We can all hear, we can all see, we can all function. And here's an important point I want to make here, is that what we see and therefore experience emotionally will determine what comes out of our mouth. And as priests in a new covenant, our ruling and exercising the authority of Jesus comes through what we say. More than anything else, your task as a New Testament prophet priest, as a New Testament believer bringing God's reality, his frequency, into this reality, which is a lower frequency, you have to be walking by faith. And faith is responding to what Jesus has already done. Faith doesn't get anything new. Faith is not power of positive thinking. If I can believe, I'll make something happen. No, your faith can't make anything happen what Jesus has already accomplished. Your faith only taps into what he's already accomplished. But if your faith doesn't tap into it, it doesn't get demonstrated where you live, in your home, in your work, in your town. So that's why we live by faith. It's not the volume of our prayers, it's the faith pitch of our prayers that God is moved by. So it's very important to understand this. If we're going to operate at this kingdom where our eyes are open to speak into this world the realities of who's for us and not against us, we have got to understand the importance of coming to agreement with God's word. As a New Testament, New Covenant believer, the most important thing for you is to learn to discern what words are coming from hell and what words are coming from God. And then to come into agreement with the words that are coming into God and declare them, and to resist the words coming from hell. criticism, negativity, and guilt, condemnation, lack, poverty. The Bible says whatever you bind on earth has already been bound in heaven. When we get to bound negativity, condemnation, guilt, shame, criticism, doubt and unbelief, it's already been bound in heaven. And what does it mean to bind? I bind you in Jesus. No. It just means you don't permit it. You say, I do not permit that operating here because it's not permitted in heaven. What's permitted in heaven? Righteousness, peace and joy, love, patience, provision, healing, satisfaction. What's permitted in heaven, I now permit, I declare, and I release. Now, I understand there's jurisdictions that operates in and all that, but that's another subject. For now, it's enough that we just apply this to our home, our family, our church, our country. And we can do that as we're growing in our faith and understanding of that. I woke up this morning, started preparing, not 100% sure, but feeling my way through. Had a picture come to mind. Quite interesting, if you can just parenthesis. It was of a little boy on the soccer field trying to impress his dad, who was sitting in the grandstand, playing his best so that his dad would be impressed with how well he played. And every time he looked up in the grandstand, he could feel that he wasn't really doing so well. And then the picture changed in my mind. I saw the father, who happened to be David Beckham, come down from the grandstands, stand up behind his son, unzip him, climb in some mystical dissemination, or he became one with his son. This big David Beckham on a soccer field with under 12 soccer players playing an inter-school competition. Can you imagine how much fun you'd have? Can you imagine how much fun you'd have? Whatever sport you can think of, you know? Gary Player. Oh, I'd have so much fun. All of a sudden, it wouldn't be about trying to impress Dad in the grandstand, because Dad's inside of you, and he's impressed because he's as good as it gets. And now, the game of life that you're playing is not playing under the audience of God's reflective eye. But it's on this plane, as he is, so are you in this world. Right now, he's living in you, breathing in you, looking through your eyes. And now when he speaks through your mouth, this kingdom will shake. This kingdom will be terminated at the word of his mouth. This is very different to try playing soccer with God in the grandstands. Now, I know when we change frequency and we stand before the throne, God is very much on the throne. In heaven, God is on the throne and we are worshiping him, co-heirs, co-brothers with Jesus. Jesus, that's you. You're standing here with us. Hang on, but you are. Yes, I know, but don't worry about that right now. But come back into this frequency. Maybe that's what he meant when he said the things I'm doing, you're going to be doing as well, if you can just get to believe it. And we're still battling with sin. Oh, maybe I should. You know what? He's took care of that once and for all. Now he's got inside of you, perfect, holy, and righteous, or else he couldn't have got inside of you. And now he wants to live his father's life on earth to see his kingdom come. And all we need is our eyes opened, so we can see this as being more real than the chariots that are surrounding us, the people throwing stones at us. We will speak at a different frequency. When people say, curse them, destroy them, hold your enmity against them, we'll be saying, Father, forgive them. We'll be operating in an opposite spirit, because we won't be controlled by the forces that are dominating people around us, because we are operating in a different kingdom. We've got a different Jesus inside of us. We've got a different hope of glory, expressing His life, expressing His power, expressing His joy in us. But while we see ourselves as trying to impress Dad in the grandstands, we are stumbling and falling and bobbing and weaving and bumping into ourselves. Oh God, open their eyes this morning. God, open their eyes this morning. As He is, so are they in this world. The same righteous Jesus that walked on earth is living inside of you. The same wisdom from God that was in Jesus is inside of you. The same sanctification that was in Jesus has been made your portion and your inheritance. And you can never have more of Jesus in you than you got right now. God, open their eyes. Open my eyes, Lord. Because I wake up in the morning and I've got to recapture my thoughts because my old memories and all these things that come and try and attach them. And no, this is who you really are. Remember? You got crucified. Get behind me. And those thoughts come against you, remind you what you used to be. You tell them that they're on the cross with Jesus where He got crucified and you've been set free from those things and you're not that person anymore because when Jesus rose from the dead, you rose from the dead in Jesus. You got a new life to live and you're living it by the power of God. Amen. Stephen got stoned for this. Are you ready? Are you ready for some stoning? Not a popular message. People prefer 10 things how to become better at this. 9 things how to become a better Christian. 4 things how to have more love. 6 things how to get a... Tell them what to do and then they feel like they've got to work towards it. They feel motivated. Tell them who they are. The religious spirit rises up. That Stephen stoning spirit rises up. You know, it's interesting. When Jesus promised His disciples that they would have 100% return on home, friends, family, kingdom, He threw another thing in there. Persecution. I mean, come on now. How come Elijah got spared, but Stephen, who's in a better covenant, gets killed? Oh, my friend, if we understood what Stephen saw, he would be laughing at us. Even at the thought that he came off less than the old covenant prophet. When he stepped out of one realm into the other, it was like, oh, my hat. Jesus said, there will be persecution. He promised it. The same way He promised to take care of you and look after you and meet your needs and heal your sicknesses. He said, there will be persecution. Those are like, you know, in this world we have ordinary hardships, ordinary problems like everybody else. We're not promoting some kind of utopian nirvana experience where we're just like, hey, nothing that happens in the world affects me. No, the same stuff that's out there getting on their case is the same ordinary afflictions that we face. One major difference. God's for you. God's in you. God's with you. And God can turn around the worst kind of ordinary circumstance and say, here's another opportunity to show my power, to show my goodness, to show my love, to show my glory. Oh, but God is not fair. I'm being stoned. I'm being hit with stones. All I did was preach the message of your good news and tell these people they're stiff-necked and they need to shine up. And now they clothes were passed on to Saul. I believe Stephen's going to get the credit of the Apostle Paul's ministry in heaven. In fact, he's enjoying it right now. Because we don't have to get to heaven to wait for heaven's enjoyment, by the way. I'm never going to get to that ash, my sermon. But should I go for it? Should I try fly into it? While we're talking about Jesus is inside of you, and Jesus is the David Beckham of your Christianity. and he's accomplished all things. You just got to find out what comes from him and what comes from hell. You bind what comes from hell and you release what comes from heaven. Can I just shoot you through a whole lot of those quickly? Because Jesus is in you, these are the things you can't agree with anymore. Number one, I can't. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. I lack. I could speak into each one of these, but time. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. I fear. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. I don't have enough faith. For by the grace given me, I say unto every one of you, think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. I'm weak. The Lord is my strength and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Let the weakling say, I am strong. But what about the devil's power? You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who's in you is greater than the one who's in the world. Well, I lack wisdom. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Yeah, but I'm sick. But he was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Can I give you a few more? Worry. Coming into agreement with worry. Now we've got to come into agreement with what heaven says. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Bondages. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Condemnation and guilt. There is now no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Loneliness. And Jesus taught them to obey everything he'd commanded and said, surely I'm with you to the very end of the age. My great-great-great-grandfather was an atheist, snuffer, tobacco chewer, and the curse has been passed down to me. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. We no longer have to break curses one at a time. We put our faith in what Jesus did at the cross when he broke the whole truckload. Now we put our faith in the fact that I don't need to go and find out what my great-grandmother's sin on her side was. You see, because you know that kind of, you'll keep your counselor in business for years that way. Because you know what that does? It creates a dependence on someone else to take you further. And don't they love that? It makes them feel needed and professional. But hey, when you discover that by faith, he took your curse and broke it, and now you just got to walk in the faith of that, you're free. Oh, that's a wonderful thought. I mean, I don't have to add to the cross. Oh, this is glorious. Don't throw stones just yet. Every curse was broken. I don't have to go and find out that my great-great-grandfather was a gambler, or my great-great-great-aunt was a Freemason, or my great-great-great-auntie was a karate expert. All I've got to say is, thank you, Jesus, on the cross, all the curses were broken. And if there's some patterns of behavior that have come down, open my eyes to see who's really living inside of me. And I don't have guilt or condemnation. I live in victory. I walk by faith, not by sight. Open my eyes to see that as he is, so am I in this world. That's good enough for God. It's good enough for me. He sees me this way. I don't have to believe that. It settles it. Finished. Okay, then calm down, Steve. Just go through your points, man. Discontentment. If I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. Remember, we're talking about agreeing and disagreeing. Because that'll affect what comes out of your mouth. Unworthy. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteous of God. Sean did a great teaching last Wednesday night on that. Confused. We have not received the spirit of this world, but the spirit is from God, that we may understand. If you're still confused about the gospel, then that's okay. It just means you're still hearing it, and that's a good thing. But we've got to come to a place where an understanding breaks in. I want to tell you, church, I don't say this boastfully because I know God has done this. I cannot read the Bible the way I used to read the Bible. I just see good news. I tell you, there's a time in my life where I was scared to open the Bible because it was going to say something to hit me. So it was safer to buy one of those little promise boxes, you know? All the nice verses. I only find nice verses now. Because they all tell me what he's done, who he is, who I am in him. It describes who I really am. I'm not like that anymore. Wow, I'm free. And I don't even have to go out for counseling on that one. I can just receive my freedom. Wow, you mean I'm already, this is glorious. Jesus, you did this. Oh, you're speaking very harsh over there, Jesus. Oh, you're speaking to the Pharisees. Yes, amen, Jesus. Give them stick, Lord. Give them another one. Oh, wonderful. This is life. You mean I can live by faith? Oh. A new book. A new book. It comes with understanding the gospel. I'm outnumbered. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Open our eyes. I still got this struggle with sin in my life. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Sin shall not be your master if you understand this. Failure. No, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Fear of failure, of the future. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for him. And finally, trouble. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Say peace. In this world you will have troubles, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Yes, there will be persecutions. Yes, there will be hardships. Yes, you face the same kind of challenges that if people want to throw a stone or climb through your window in the middle of the night and take your TV, that's what they can do because that's the order of things. But God says, I am for you and not against you. And I've overcome the world, so find your peace in me, because if you live at a different level, you're not coming in to agreement with fear, condemnation and shame and lack and poverty and destruction. You're coming into agreement with a much superior government. It's my government. That's the kingdom of God government that rules and will rule on this earth. Let's stand up together this morning. Father, we come as priests and prophets of the Most High God. We come as those who want to say to those around us, God, open their eyes so that they can see that more of them that are for us than them that are against us. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. Thank you for your presence here today. Thank you for your presence here today.